Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And today I have a friend joining me from Louisiana. So from those of you who are listening around the world, Louisiana is in the south part of the United States. And Alicia is a strategic business consultant globally and has worked to help people learn how to change the way that they do business. And most certainly in this current time with COVID, everything has changed about business. And the thing that I love about Alicia is not only her enthusiasm and her intellect, but her integrity and the way that she is working with people around the world. And in particular, really starting to focus on working with women to help women bring their innate understanding of how to make things workable to the business world. So welcome to the show, Alicia.
Thank you, Elaine, for having me.
So tell us about yourself and tell us about how you got into business and business consulting in particular and why you wanted to go down that avenue.
Sure. So I grew up in South Louisiana, and I am the oldest of three kids. My parents were always very engaging with me and told me that I could really do anything that I wanted. The problem was I didn't really ever know what I wanted to do. Nice. So I was one of those kids who was, you know, I was gifted in a lot of things, and I could do a lot of different things, not to be braggadocious or anything, but I really could do a lot of different things. And so it was really confusing as to what I wanted to do, even well into my collegiate years. But my dad would always say, you know, you can do whatever you want. And now, being a 45-year-old woman, looking back, I love that my dad gave me, as a woman, that foundation. I have a younger sister as well, who's 15 months younger than me. And he was always very, very thoughtful of telling us that we could do whatever we wanted. And I'm so thankful for that. But so I went into college, and ended up getting a degree in psychology because I felt like at the time, that's what most people who didn't know what they wanted to do did. I went and I did some traveling, and then I said, you know, I really needed to do something in administration and leadership. So I loved healthcare. And I went and I got my graduate degree in health administration and my MBA. Still, as a 23-year-old woman, very green, not really knowing what was out there for me. I hadn't been exposed to a ton of things coming from South Louisiana. And then I luckily got into a consulting job, which I loved, because as much as I loved healthcare, I didn't love being in the hospital. So I wanted to be a part of the business side of healthcare, but not in the hospital. It was really hard when we would go and visit our first semester. We would go and visit hospitals, and we would have to walk through all the wards. And I remember walking through the NICU and just being taken aback. Like, I was like, I can't be here every day. The weight of that would be a lot for me. But I want to help those people. I want to create a space where that care can happen. But being in the same physical location of that was, I knew, would be a lot for me. So that's how I got into consulting, and the rest has been history.
Well, what I think is so interesting is that you also have, you also have a mom who's in business.
Yes.
So, you know, two parents encouraging you to do what, meaning doing whatever you want to do, means that they're not putting any limitations on you, is what I would suspect.
Yes.
That they wouldn't pigeonhole you into particular thing that, you know, that quote unquote a girl should do or a woman should do. And I think that that is enormously important for people to understand that truly there is so much work that needs to be done in this world. There's so many opportunities to help and to be collaborative, that we shouldn't be just pigeonholed into one exclusive kind of thought process, as if all women have to be caregivers or all women have to be, you know, teachers or nurses, which thank goodness we have them, as you say, but there's others who are more, you know, minded, their minds are more focused in terms of strategy. And it sounds like that is what your focus might be. Excuse me. And I understand that you have an interesting degree, which I find is very interesting, is industrial and organizational psychology. So correct. What makes people do what they do? Is that what that means?
It means how people work together in groups.
Okay.
So it's creating the space in both the physical and the intellectual and the emotional space so people can be their best selves to work towards a group goal. That is what industrial organizational psychology is. It is the baseline for a lot of current human resources work. Is based on that. I loved it because I thought it was tied to business. It was a psychology that was is used pretty regularly in the business world. And you know, foreshadowing, even at the time when I was 20 and 21 and getting that degree, I didn't know how much I would use those theories and thoughts all the time in my day-to-day work. I mean, you think about when you're working in groups almost all the time, even if it's not business related, it's how you work in a group as your family unit, how you work as a group as a volunteer, how you work as a group as a team when you see your children be part of a team, which I do. It is so important for individuals to learn how they are within a group and then what they can provide that group, because every single person can provide something.
That's right.
And it's knowing, my life work after 20 something years of business experience is trying to help people learn what their inherent and innate gifts are and the being the best version of themselves and offering that back to a group dynamic. And then that's when real mastery of any business decision or collaboration occurs, is when everyone's doing the best that they can and being the best version of themselves. And then together they are working towards a common goal. That's the best.
You know, Alicia, I love that what you just said. And I also think that we have kind of an immature, if you will, way of looking at someone who is the boss and someone who is the employee. And rather than have it, when I say immature, what I mean is we follow an old pattern that somebody is in charge and somebody must be the one willing and able to fulfill whatever that criteria might be that the boss wants, whether that boss is a kind and thoughtful and collaborative person or somebody who's very punitive. So I think that it's really interesting that and important to have that psychology be there because, you know, how many people say they love their job? Unfortunately, not as many as we would hope. So correct. We have to look at why is that? Why is that even a part of the equation? Why aren't people completely and thoroughly enjoying what they do? And if they don't, why?
Exactly. I mean, I'm very blessed and lucky to work with a group of people that I work with on pretty regularly. We're all independent contractors, but they make me better every day because they have differing point of views. And no matter how much, I mean, I have a lot of experience in the group. Most of them would look towards me because I have one of the most experience, not always, but sometimes they, even with 4 or 5 years experience, will look at something differently than I do. Mm-hmm. And they have the key. They hold the key, not me. And we create a space where it's free and open to talk about those things. And there's no hierarchy. And that's really what I've seen a lot in business. And one of the things that we're really trying to push away from is that we have no real structure and hierarchy. It's all about the ideas and the benefits that we can bring as ourselves to a solution. It doesn't matter. You know, I've done some work in overseas and in China especially, and just the cultural dynamics there are so interesting because you have to run the good idea up the chain of command, right? It's got to come from the main leader. And that is a difficult structure for some of us to work in. And we've had to adjust, knowing that that's just the way that their culture is. Right. But we're getting there. We're trying to break some of those barriers, but I've been really blessed that I can work in a group that it does not work that way at all. And we're trying to bring that out to more and more and more organizations to show that it doesn't matter about your title. It's a matter about what you bring every day to your job.
Right, right. And, you know, the beauty of working that way collaboratively, I would think, as you had mentioned, you know, you have so many different perspectives, mm-hmm. but you also have culture, you have ethnicity, you have gender, you have so many things that none of us are identical. And so when we're trying to reach a broader group of people to have that diversity of consciousness, of thought, of ability to share openly your thoughts and your conversations, just naturally makes it easier to be able to brainstorm, I would think.
Oh, yes. You have to have a safe space where you set the standard that every idea and every opinion is fact because it's their version of the truth, right? It's not, no one's right or wrong. And I love it. I always say that because a lot of my clients will come and they think that I'm going to give them the answer. And I said, no, I don't have the answer. You as a collective have the answer. And it's somewhere, a piece of it is in each of you. And so I am the expert of helping you get all of that out and look at it and see it as a whole. And then you can pick the pieces that make the most sense and almost weave a quilt of this is the answer. And that is what I love that about my job, because the different perspectives are absolutely what makes the solutions the most robust. And we tell our clients that if you want to have a conversation about strategy, you want to have all the executives, absolutely, because they most of the time will be making the final decisions. You need to have the decision makers, but you also need to have everybody else represented. I mean, you don't need to have every single person, but at least one or two from all the different stakeholders are going to be a part of this. And they all have to be represented and they need to have a diversity of thought. And that's a cornerstone of the work that we do.
Well, especially when the upper echelon really has never been at a bedside in terms of healthcare, or if they have never been on the construction site, or they have never actually dealt with the person, the place, or the thing that you're creating. Otherwise, it's just a conceptual idea that can make everything run amok if everyone doesn't understand what's actually happening. And I think that's a big problem, because we have seen so many times in businesses around the world where, you know, the right hand was afraid to tell the left hand what they were doing. And so there was, you know, a lack of coordination, a lack of transparency.
Yes. So transparency is very important.
Yes. So I would think, Alicia, that again, my guest is Alicia Lenihan, and she's joining me from Louisiana, and her company is called The Collective Consulting. And I love the fact that you are working with different disciplines. But what I also am really grateful for is that you're really bringing the voices of women forward.
Yes.
Tell me about that and why you think that is so important and how you have seen that change.
Yes. Well, you brought up my mother earlier, and I would mm-hmm. be remiss to say that she was not also a huge part of making me the person that I am today. For a lot of different reasons than my father was, of course. You know, my mom grew up in the early 70s and was, I guess, on the fringe of the feminist, you know, movement. But she went to school and was told that she really needed to be either a home ec teacher or a nurse. Right. And you know, I don't think she has any animosity about that. That's just what her dad told her she needed to do.
Right, exactly.
But she knew that that's not what she wanted to do. And, you know, it took her a long time to figure out all the things that she was great at. And my mom went back and got her bachelor's degree when I was had finished my master's. So, you know, she went back to school. She is by far the definition of someone who never gives up and keeps going. And she raised us and, you know, stayed home, and but then also went back to work when we were older and has always been in business. But then she went back and got her accounting degree. And I started thinking about it, and especially in during COVID when we were all at home thinking a lot. I said, wow, you know, I was born in 1975. And I think that I'm on the first wave of women who were born of women who were part of that first feminist movement, right? So
yes,
I think any woman that was born from 1970 forward has really never been told that they can't do anything that they want to do.
That's right. That's
right. And I think that we're now, I'll be 46 this year, we're now taking over in some of the leadership positions, right? These women who have never been pigeonholed are now moving up, and we're going to be taking the space of some executives and making some big decisions. And so we bring a totally different perspective than the men. And I am not at all saying that the masculine perspective is not important. I've met lots of women who are very, very masculine and who have that masculine perspective and masculine energy in their business mind. And I think that finding the right balance of all of those things is what is really important. And that women, in my experience, have a much greater capacity to balance out the masculine and the feminine.
Well, I think that inherently over, you know, the many years, if there was any breakdown in marriages, it was all often the women who were not only needed to get out into the workforce, but also had the home to take care of and children to raise. And so they had to, by necessity, learn how to be much more strategic in their thinking, mm-hmm. and in some way to be able to make sure that they themselves were healthy, if possible. You know, so I think that we have to remember, as a human species, we are male and female. And so many situations have pitted us against one another, mm-hmm. rather than understanding we're part of one whole. And so we have to be able to listen to all perspectives without leaning exclusively in one direction. And patriarchy in particular has been, we don't have to look very far to see it's had very dire consequences when it became exclusively male. And, yes. you know, very damaging. And not to, certainly many people have been very, very equal in the way they treat others, but many have not. And so I think that we're in this time right now, Alicia, and I think we've spoken about it when we've had time personally together. Yes, you know, we really need to bring the mindset of how do we preserve life? And that starts within the mind, in the heart, in wherever an individual is, in their home and in their workplace. Are they safe? Are they heard? Are what they doing making a difference to make the world a better place? Mm-hmm. And I think that's essentially what we need to look at from here on out. Would you agree?
Yes, 1,000%. I want all people to realize the best that they are within themselves. I am a true believer that, you know, you are the things that you say to yourself and the things that in the environment that you are created in. I think we have to view each person as a whole entity. And there are definitely situations now in the world that I find very upsetting, because I know that children are being raised in places that they were not given the same structure and the same kind words that I was given as when I was being raised. Right. And,
right.
And I definitely, until we acknowledge that and try to change it, for the better, we're going to continue down, you know, some of the very difficult roads that have sort of bubbled up to the surface. And that's when I think, going back to the women in leadership, I think that women see that in a different way, and they see the solution to those things in a different way, much more so in the upstream perspective of trying to change the root causes of those things, instead of putting a Band-Aid and trying to change the outcomes of those things.
Yes, yes.
The symptoms of those things. And women are much better of going upstream and thinking about the whole picture, at least, again, this is all from my own experience, but I just think that we're better suited sometimes to help deal with a couple of these things, not only in business, but also in the world.
So Alicia, as you said, during COVID, you know, everyone has gone to being more reliant on electronic ways of communicating with one another, Zoom, et cetera. How mm-hmm. have you seen that has been helpful and or detrimental to how business is being conducted? And what are the changes that you're seeing?
Yeah. I mean, that is such an excellent question. I mean, the whole collective consulting, my company that we've started, was built because of COVID and the need to be connected. And we would always come together. I would bring a group of people, you know, 7 to 10 people to a client site, where we'd have we'd be working with a group of people for 3 or 4 days at a time, bringing them from all over the world, all the different perspectives. And we would create these, strategic, sessions, design sessions, essentially. So when COVID hit, that stopped in the water. No one wanted to travel anywhere to do anything, right?
Right.
And especially not share a space with anyone or catering or anything. So we sort of sat around for the first couple weeks and we're like, okay, well, will this come back? Like maybe after Memorial Day, I don't know. And then we were like, oh no, this is real. Like, we're not going anywhere for a long time. So we decided to start getting together and really teaching each other how to navigate in this digital world, virtual and digital world. You know, we were known for our big whiteboards, marker boards, that we would just give people a blank boards and say, start drawing, start getting your answers out there. And there wasn't a great option of how to do that digitally and virtually together.
Yes,
so
yes.
We had to go searching for what are the right softwares that are out there that we can engage with and learn, and how do we navigate that and incorporate it into a Zoom, or do we use, all kinds of different situations and scenarios that we worked through. And we were clearly a collective of people that were going to try to figure this out. And we did. And by July, we were pretty good at how to do it. And then we started working with a couple of clients, and we've just gotten better and better and better and better. And we had a session to sort of go back and look and reflect. It's really important. Part of the things that what we do is, after we've done a session virtually or in person, we sit and we go, what worked really well? Like, what can we build on that we did in this situation? And so we did that a couple weeks ago with my team. And we were just like, you know, it's really amazing how we have been able to the outcomes have not suffered us being part of this virtual world. And we do feel super connected still. And I think we had to learn, everyone had to learn how to talk to a computer. And, you know, like you, it's a skill that you have to acquire, and it takes a little bit of time, but we also were very, very strict about when we're collaborating, we have our videos on and we are looking at each other and we are talking, because we can get some of the nonverbal cues that you get.
Absolutely.
Working in person, not all of them, but some of them.
Right.
And, you know, we made panels on, you know, oh, look, I have a question, or, you know, like, so you could see when you have a bunch of people, which we try not to have more than like 10 in a group collaborating at one time, but, you know, you can have, oh, I have an idea, you know, like we gave people skill or tools that they could use to make it feel like you weren't just sitting talking.
And it also makes it fun, I would think. Yeah. You know, like, I got a question here.
Exactly.
You can't say, gee, I didn't know you had a question. There's no escape clause there.
I know, but, exactly.
You know, so Alicia, tell me, have you seen people wanting to start new businesses or to retool their existing business prior to COVID? What is the trend that you're seeing in terms of the work and the clients you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, I think it allowed everyone a chance to pause and say, am what I'm doing really what I want to be doing? Mm-hmm. And I think everyone did that individually.
Yes.
But I also think businesses did it, from what I can gather. And they thought, they took the time to say, okay, is this the direction that we want to go in? And is there a way that we can make a difference? And I mean, some of my clients are huge, you know, big, big company, corporations, global corporations, but they're still thinking about, what do I have to offer that's going to make the world a better place in 10 or 15 years? What did we learn from this situation that we were in that we can turn it around, and by offering the things that we offer or having ideas that we want to offer in the future that would, you know, make the world a greener place, make the world a more socially diverse place, make, you know, I mean, these are questions that I think a lot of corporations are asking, which I think is wonderful. But I do feel too that it's also the return of the small business. I mean, I really think that you got people who either left their big corporate jobs or were forced to. Yeah. And they're like, I see something and I want to try it out. And I want to, you know, figure out, I mean, me included. I mean, you know, all of us from the group that I work with, we did this in real life all the time with each other. But, you know, now we're like, well, we can do this without, you know, having a lot of us work independently, but we work with big consulting firms. And I was like, well, we can do this. We don't need the big consulting firms anymore.
Right.
Like, we can go out and help people in our neighborhoods that need, you know, that need this strategic direction and thinking.
Well, I think what happened with COVID in my experience, in my perspective, is number one, we realized that every healthcare organization, every school, every business is not an entity in and of itself. It's made of people.
Correct.
You know, we have these crazy notions that a big corporation is an entity in and of itself that's run in and of itself. No, it's made of people.
Right.
You know, we have this kind of a divide in our mind that is so wrong and is so incorrect. And what I've seen is, as we've seen people get sick, we've seen death, we've seen hardships, we recognize we're all in this together.
Right.
And, you know, I think I've told you that I work for a wonderful organization, or I'm a part of a board called Cares of Farmington Hills, where we feed families. We feed individuals, about 500 families a month. You know, and I can't tell you the countless people that would come asking for food with tears in their eyes saying, I never thought I would be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you help someone understand this could happen to any of us? This is not, please don't come begging. Please know this is here for you. And I think that's a shift in the mindset that we are seeing with the need around the world. We are the only human beings on this planet.
Right.
There's only one species called humanity that we're aware of, at least on this planet. How do we stop working against one another? Because we're the only ones with the great and empowering gift called choice.
Right.
What are we going to do with that choice?
I've been really just pleasantly surprised, to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying that every business that I, you know, that I've dealt with is, has that mindset, but I will tell you that I think that the ones that will survive and the ones that will be successful over the next 10 years will be the ones that start there.
Yes.
And they will be the ones that start with what, how do we care for our people and how do we build a place in a business that, again, like every person feels valued and every person feels heard. And I think that's really important. And I think part of what we strive to do is change the way people work. So that's inherent. It's in their everyday life and within their work life. Right. I really think that that's going to be a movement over the next 10 years. And again, I think led by women leaders. I really have a strong feeling about this and that we're going to be the ones calling the shots and we're going to make some adjustments to the way that things were measured and what success looked like in the past 30 years is not going to be what success looks like in the future.
And what do you think success looks like? What do you think from now on success should really look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be that we're caring for each other and that really we've a business as a structure set up that everyone feels like they're valued. And then I also think that we're caring for our where we do business, the community, and the planet. The green movement and really trying to take care of Mother Earth is so important. I mean, it is.
We only have this home.
And the energy that we get from it and the energy that we give back to it, and we're so connected. And I think that success is making sure that is, you know, like you said, paramount, because everything else will follow. I mean, that's what I have found, that when I'm doing things that I feel really inherently good about, I try not to do things based on a monetary, much to my husband's chagrin sometimes, but to a monetary benefit. I do think, because I find that when I do things that I think are right, that the monetary side comes. Like it's not something that I have to work towards. It's something that will show up when I need it, you know, and it always has. I have never, ever been proven wrong in that statement. So, I think that we'll start making a shift to where success is not a huge capitalistic, you know, structure anymore. I mean, it's important. It is important. I'm not discounting it at all, because it is important. It is what feeds, some of our families and those things. I'm not saying that at all, but I think it won't be the only focus.
What do you think, Alicia, is how do we help people? You know, everyone comes to any, as you said, any conversation, any job, any situation that they're in with their own history. Mm-hmm. With their own experiences that they've had and the ones that they're currently in the midst of, whether their employer or their coworkers know about it or not. Mm-hmm. How do we begin to support one another in different ways, especially as women? Because generally speaking, it is the women who are the caregivers. If there's an elderly parent, it's usually the woman, the daughter, the siblings, the females, generally speaking, that have to find a solution. How is mom or dad cared for? Where's the food coming from? Who's preparing the meals? Who's getting people here or there? All of those things. And, you know, that is a huge skill, but it's a huge stressor also.
Right. Right.
How do we support life? Because, you know, from birth to death, that is life.
Right.
How do we support people who are really trying to support life, not just a business?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of thoughts about what you just said. First and foremost, I think that having conversations and being vulnerable and honest in a business setting is something that is very new. Mm-hmm. But it also brings humanity to the work that you do. And I think that the more that we can be, not provide excuses for anything, but explanations for things.
Yes.
And those are the two very distinct words. We're not excusing things, but we're explaining why something might happen. But that requires a level of self-awareness that, you know, we need to be teaching our children. And I think that from what I found in the people that I work with is those that are self-aware and know the things that they're great at and know the holes and the places that they need help in, those are the most self, the most successful people. Mm-hmm. And that you have to, you really have to do that work to understand yourself first, or else how can you function within this very, very varied, you know, world that we live in. I think first being self-aware and then being vulnerable and open and honest about where you are in every moment, not only in your personal life, but in your business life, I think is just something that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's new too, because that has not been, vulnerability is not been seen as a really successful skill that you have in moving up till today, you know, in the past. It hasn't been something that has been afforded.
Well, I think that, you know, and I have this question posed to me all the time, you know, what is empathy? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to have empathy doesn't mean that you're sympathetic. Sympathy is something, if we're using the term correctly, is when we recognize that someone is in a grief situation and some challenge that is beyond them, some challenge that is unexpected. But empathy, as you had mentioned, is an honest appraisal of what is happening to not just to ourselves, but we're witnessing in someone else's life. And if we want to have the collaboration, or if we need the collaboration of that person, then we have to honestly let them heal or be able to attend to whatever that challenge is that they have without being made to feel guilty, without being pressured to do everything at once. And to recognize that in some time in our life, we will likely be in the same situation.
Yes.
And how do we see that potential, that likelihood is not a failure, but is something that happens in life?
Right. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn.
Yes.
That what that feels like. So when you might find yourself in that situation, you have something to pull from, or you at least know, I can go talk to that person who's experienced this because they shared it with me.
Yes.
And I mean, I think a lot of people feel that if you share those kinds of things, it means you're weak or you are, you know, but exactly the opposite is true. It means that you're brave and you're strong and you're not afraid to share things, you know, that might help other people. I'm very, very passionate about that. But then I wanted to go back to what you said about the caregiving and because I do feel back to the, you know, me being part of this generation of women who were never told that they can't do anything. So that meant that, you know, we married, if we choose to get married, we married men that we had other expectations of them because we were never, you know, we're not just supposed to sit at home and take care of everything else, right? Like, so they have to skill themselves in other things that their fathers never had to skill themselves in.
That's right.
So I think it goes both ways, that I think we'll see a shift that too, that some of the caregiving won't only be on the women. You know, I think it's all going to be a shared responsibility.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we had to just sit here in my house. My husband, over COVID, and it was not because of COVID, but I mean, he changed jobs and he found himself not working, which meant he had to skill himself in a lot of things that he had, you know, maybe never skilled himself in before. And you know what? He did a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was so busy that I couldn't do all the things. And, and I was, you know, I mean, believe me, it wasn't always rosy. We had some disagreements, but,
but well, that's life.
Yeah, exactly.
But the hardest thing for people to do is to change.
Yes. Yes. But you know,
that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of men are willing and open to all of those things. So I want to challenge any men listening to this that, you know, you can be a caregiver just as easily as a woman can. You have just the same amount of love and support and compassion that a woman does. And I see that happening more and more and more and more every day. And I'm certainly raising a son that hopefully will have the same amount of love and care and compassion and be able to take care of me right. one day, maybe.
Right. So Alicia, again, my guest is Alicia Lenihan, and she is joining me today from Louisiana. Her company is The Collective Consulting. And if you go to www.thecollectiveconsulting.com, you'll be able to look at what she does and, you know, be in touch with her. So I think that that's really important. But I love the fact, Alicia, that there is an immediacy when you're getting together. If there is a problem right now, let's say in any business, you don't have to wait for somebody to jump on a plane and then 3 days later you can talk about it. You know, if there's a problem, you can deal with it right then and there, providing everyone can get on their computer screen and talk. So I think that there is a, you know, this global business mind is there is a way to work together quickly to solve problems. And how have you found that to be an advantage?
Oh, well, yeah, I think that is just amazing. If you have the right structure of really framing the question that you're really asking. So a lot of people get frustrated in some of our work because they think that we're going to go right to solution. Hmm. And I'm like, but no, because if you do what you've always done, which starts with solution, then you'll get what you've always gotten,
exactly.
Which has gotten to the point that you are right now. So
right. We
have to step back and really reframe what it is that you're trying to answer. And that requires a lot of back and forth and questioning and introspection and latency and all that stuff. But I think if you set it up and you get people on who are curious and who want to help or want to figure out the solution to this business issue that you're having, you could just start asking questions to each other about what it is that we really need to learn about this solution, you know, this issue that we're having, because I promise you, it's not only happening where you are.
Right.
And that's one thing that I've seen. I have worked in all kinds of business industries and they all have the same issues. It doesn't matter. It is not unique to their organization ever. And they think that it is, which mm-hmm. is really from an outsider sort of entertaining, because you're like, I just worked with another company, you know, like 3 weeks ago and they're dealing with the same things. So it's a matter of really trying to figure out what you need to learn about the situation that you're in, because that will start getting you geared to answering some other questions about what the solution is.
So Alicia, what do you think is the global shift in what business actually means? What is the purpose of business? Rather than, you know, this company makes this widget and this company does this and this company organizes or manages that. What is the global mindset, or do you see, I should, maybe is a better question, do you see a global mindset and thought process of what does it mean to be in business? What is it? What is the opportunity? What is the obligation? What is the responsibility aside from just making money?
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge push in the 90s and in the early 2000s about every organization had to have a mission and a vision and a values and really be very clear about what they're providing their customers. And then it sort of shifted in that they needed to do the same thing with their employees, that, okay, now you need to, you know, be very clear about what the opportunities and the career paths that you're offering employees. You know, now I think business is all about experience. And that's really the shift that we've seen, especially in a digital world where everything, you know, it's not necessarily only like I get a, like you said, I made a widget and I get it and then I move it on to the next thing. It's what does that experience of having that widget feel like? And I think that is where business is going, is trying to really be able to articulate the experience of what it is to do something or to be something in this world. And I think the more and more businesses that start cluing into that, and again, it's the experience of helping the earth. It's the experiences of helping each other. It's the experience of building each other up. It's the experience of, you know, making someone happy. It's the, I mean, it's all of the experiences, but the more that they are cluing into what that experience, that they can articulate what that experience is, I think the movement that I see now.
What do you think, Alicia, about, you know, what comes to mind for me is, you know, as a writer, and I'm working on my third book, I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of looking back at history, looking at how things are interrelated and how one thing affects another over time or immediately. And I think that one of the things that to me is paramount and really important is we understand accountability, true accountability, you know, and integrity. And what is it, you know, how brave it is for some people to be quote unquote whistleblowers, to say what this company says they're doing and what they're actually doing are two so divergent, and they're damaging to countless people, countless resources, countless things. So I think that, you know, we cannot deal with the earth, with Mother Earth, without being accountable. Because everything we use comes from this earth. So we cannot be ignorant to the fact that if we abuse these resources, then we will have no resources to use. And that means we won't be here.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that statement. But yes, I mean, accountability is everything. And that, again, has a huge social responsibility. And to go back to bravery, I mean, if companies are not being accountable or not held accountable for some of the actions that they've done, you know, I watched a movie last night, Percy versus the Goliath, which is, I highly recommend anyone watch. It's about the seed farmer who took on Monsanto in the late 90s in Canada. And it's a really, really unique perspective on it. But I mean, talk about accountability. I mean, that was so much bravery that man, he was not going to give up, and he, to the detriment of his family and his community and everything, but he knew that that was, you know, the right thing to do and to be accountable to himself. He had to be accountable to himself first and foremost, and then make the other people, the organizations, be accountable. And, you know, organizations are interesting because you can hide. There's a lot of places you can hide in an organization.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, as you just said, excuse me for interrupting, but I think that bravery denotes that you're putting yourself in harm by being truthful. And I think that it's really important that integrity be I keep using the term paramount, but forefront in our mind, mm-hmm. ever present in our consciousness, because, you know, even the person who is willing to do something that is maybe a little off or a little shady, they have consequences in their life.
Oh, for sure.
They have to fundamentally change, and everyone around them is affected knowingly or unknowingly by that. You're never dealing with the true individual if they're hiding something. So, you know, there is never a good outcome. Never.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that just too goes back to being really self-aware and then allowing, you said, I think it's interesting that you said bravery is something you think about being harm. I don't see bravery that way. I think bravery is putting others ahead of you, of your thought. It's being on the front. You know, it's like you think about the arrow. It's being the point of the arrow that, like, you are going to lead the charge on behalf of others.
Right.
And I think
that, you know, most people, when they hear, well, you got to be brave, then their knees are knocking, you know. It's like, you know, instead it's like, you know, Where's the truth lie?
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I do get that. But I do think that there are people who inherently have bravery as a strength.
Yes.
And that's some of the things that I do when I work with individuals, because I'll do some work with individuals and not just, you know, organizations, is, you know, figuring out, when I talk about self-awareness and being the best version of yourself, you have to learn about what your inherent strengths are. And there are people that bravery is, like, that's their forefront. That's the lens that they view the world.
I agree with you.
Those are the people that you need to find to mm-hmm. help to go and be that for the voice of the other, of everybody else. And when you have an organization, and I said, you know, there are lots of places where people can hide in an organization, but if you set up an organization and you have a culture of honesty and transparency, and then you know that there are people that bravery is a thing that they view the world as. I mean, they like cannot help it. They like it's in their everyday being. Then those are the people that you can count on. Or you, if you have something that you're like, ooh,
yes,
I don't know, I see this or I see that, you can go to those people and say,
yes,
I know that we need to tap into your strength of bravery, because this is what I know. And then see, collectively, you've done something together.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with your, I just wanted to bring that to the focus, because so many people are inherently brave. And I know people that are willing to forge new ground to mm-hmm. see solutions that have not been tried before, but, you know, that are not out of the realm of possibility. But, you know, we want to encourage everyone that to be brave means to be honest. Brave means to say, you know, this isn't working, and not to feel fearful that there will be a punitive repercussion.
Correct.
To them. And I think that that's what I'm trying to steer to, because, you know, we have to get out of the mindset that business should be a threat. Business
right.
should be the reason that humans are working together.
Yeah, exactly.
So that in the future, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren don't have to still be facing the same problems that we have never chosen to correct. And I think that that's what business is all about right now, correcting the problems that have been here forever and not pretending that they can be swept under the rug anymore.
Let's right.
make corrective action.
Yeah. And I going back to, I think that right now we're going to have an influx of women who are going to be in leadership positions and who can really see that and make the adjustments necessary to make that a reality.
So, Alicia, in the last few minutes that we have, how is the best way for people to get in touch with you, and what level of business size are you working with? Is there any parameters that you have there?
Yeah. So people can get in touch with me by going to the website, thecollectiveconsulting.com. You can also email me at Elysia, E-L-Y-S-I-A, at thecollectiveconsulting.com. And I will respond to you as quickly as I can. As far as business size, you know, we are scalable. One of the things that we say on the website is that, you know, if you're a small business, there are two or three of us that love to work with you. If you are a global business, we bring in lots of other people to help. So that's how we work. So really for us, it's about finding the right purpose for what you're working for. You know, it's like we spend some time really getting to know what your specific business need is, and then we can create a collaborative solution around that.
So in other words, a business isn't too small for you.
Nope, not at all.
I think that's great. Really great. And you know, as women are seeing the seeing the problems that need real time solutions, mm-hmm. and make them workable and consistently workable, then I was just writing about the other day about, you know, when we look at the greatest example that we have of workability, all we have to do is look at the natural world. Mm-hmm. For what has been doing the same thing with precision for millions of years.
Yes.
And we don't need to create artificial means of learning if we watch what is replicable and workable and so many collaborative parts coming together without argument and just working together so that you and I can have a life. So your children and my children and my grandchildren, someday your grandchildren, can have a life and enjoy the beauty of this world.
Yes.
So important. So very important.
We use a lot of those metaphors in our work too, just so you know.
Oh, so, very good.
So we use a lot of creative destruction, rainforest, salt marshes, all of those things. We make executives read all kinds of crazy things because there are solutions inherent in those and we have to learn from them.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And it's just so important for us to look at all of these things. So in the last few minutes, anything less, any pearls of wisdom you'd like to share?
Oh, I want to thank you so much, Elaine, for giving, for spending this hour with me and letting me talk about things that I'm super passionate about. And that I want everyone to know that you have it within you. The answer is there. You just have to ask the right questions and that, you know, you can do it. Everyone can do it. It's all within yourself.
That's right. Well, thank you so much. My guest has been Elysia Linehan, and she is from Louisiana, but is working around the world with her team. And her company is called The Collective Consulting at collectiveconsulting.com. Please take a look at her website, see the amazing thing that she's doing, and help us all to change the world, because this is our one and only home. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And you too can make a difference in your world. Go do it today.